F2A. Number 18A.
Well, we did take Ephesians yesterday and went to the first three main subjects. Ephesians is all about that fullness of the Christ, filling all in all, that richness of the Christ, giving us abundant richness in spiritual things. And in order to bring out what that means, what that fullness is, what those riches are, Paul would approach that subject from seven different angles in the Christ order, in order to show that everything comes from the divine principle and brings out the fullness of the divine principle at the point of idea. So that when he is showing what the fullness of the idea is, he gives it in the word order as the subtones of each synonymous term. So we have seen first the tone of principle, where he was showing that principle is perfect and therefore translates itself to us as the fullness of that principle, namely as the perfect idea man. And so shows what constitutes, through the seven subtones, what constitutes the perfect idea man. Then, when one has established that everything comes from principle, one asks oneself now, what flows out of that principle? And therefore, after principle, one has the great main tone of life, which shows that really life is that which gives these exceeding riches. And it gives a sense of the exceeding riches as a gift of God. So that's what the principle has stated now is shown as a gift of God. The fatherhood sense of life that always gives out and gives out. So we can ask ourselves there, what are the great gifts that life gives us? And he answered through the seven subtones again, what constitutes those great gifts. Then we can see that must be followed by truth, because we ask ourselves, well, God gives these gifts in an abundant way to whom? Namely, to men. And so at the point of truth, which is always the sixth day of man, he's showing how that gift of grace in life is now in truth building up the compound idea man, the conscious compound idea man. And we have seen he builds it up again through the word order until he comes to the climax where he could see that the man is built up, namely a building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. So we feel here he shows that man is the holy temple of the Lord, the holy temple of God. That's where we made a break yesterday, so I go on to the next subject of love. Now, we can ask ourselves about the spiritual logic in this subject. We have seen the logic is that first we must have a perfect principle in order to bring out perfect men. Then second, that principle is always the Father, the life, always giving out, giving out, giving out, giving everything as a gift of grace. Then who gets that gift? That gift is man. He gets those gifts. And so truth builds up now in man the compound conscious idea man. Now we say, is that the end of it? Is that the whole purpose of the Christ, just to give man his perfection and to give man all what he needs in order to give him the real gestalt of man, the true measure and stature of Christ? Is that the end of it? Is that the climax? And Paul says, no, that's not the climax. I only give man everything, and you have to see man as a really full manifestation in order that he can play the right place in the plan of God, not in the plan of man. So the subject, love, now shows, as we have it here in the epitome book, epitomized, 104 page, the fullness of the Christ love manifests itself in us, using us as an instrument for world salvation. You see, this is really what we see today, that we are approaching the 7,000-year period of love, that the whole design of the Christ idea is being shown or will be shown in the next millennia, so that we can see that man must find its right place within that whole plan. Man cannot live just for himself and just for his own perfection and for his own building on the building up the consciousness of man, but that he is equipped by the truth in order that he can take part in the whole design and plan of love, of universal salvation. So it takes us away from the individual and puts us as an instrument into the plan of the universal. And this is what we will see here, and we take here the text up again and see how Paul was telling the Ephesians that he would really like to see them as an instrument of world salvation. I read, and we get first the subtone of mind. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, ye, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, what? So he said, can you see that great dispensation that has given to me, that he has been called for a office, for a mission, for a vocation, and he has to fulfill that vocation, and he addresses himself to the Ephesians to be part in that, in the fulfillment of that vocation, in the fulfillment that he has to win the whole world. That was Paul's idea, that he will go out to the Gentiles, out of the narrow boundaries of the Jews, and be the world savior. He could see that he didn't get the Christ idea just for himself, that he is fine. No, on the contrary, he complains that he still has a thorn in his flesh, as we have seen in Galatians, but that he sees that he has much a bigger mission than just to demonstrate that he has a healthy body and that nothing is lacking in his body. So he said, I have that dispensation received from the Christ, and you Ephesians, you are going to help me in that mission. So he said that that dispensation have come to him of the grace of God, which is given me to you, Ward. What is that? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So again, we have here the tone of mind. Now, what is that design? What is that dispensation to be a world savior? And he said, well, through revelation of mind, I have given insight into the whole mystery. I have been known by that revelation. So you get the tone of mind. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And we know he uses the term mystery just in the way that for him the plan is not a mystery, that only for others it is a mystery, that we have seen how he has shown that he could explain that mystery. Just like the chapter on spiritualism starts, the mortal existence is an enigma, and then afterwards she goes and shows how to resolve that enigma, and that it is very clear and that is nothing any more mysterious. But he had to impart that to the Ephesians. So we too would start out and say, well, what is our place in the plan of love? Our place in the plan of love for world salvation. Well, the very first thing would be mind, namely that we can see that plane of love, that we are aware of it, mind, that we know that plane, and that it is known to us through revelation. And you get a great sense of mind. So one can see that plane of salvation must be born, so to say, in each mind, in everybody's mind, in the individual mind. Or else we are just following blindly something. Then he goes and gives a touch of spirit and says, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So he refers again back to that mystery of Christ, that he knows it, but that they must understand it. And so we get the tone of spirit in it, and it goes on, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. He says, before I have received that revelation, that plan of God was not known to the Israelites. They didn't know. You see, he wanted to show how limited their theology was. They said, you always call yourselves the seed of Abraham. But Abraham was given the promise that he would be the savior of all nations, not only of Israel. And so he tells the Jews, you see, you thought you are the only chosen people, and the whole world, according to you, just can go down the drains. You don't mind that. And I come as Paul and say, I see through that plan, through that promise that has been given to Abraham to be the savior of the whole world. I see that, and I want to make it known to you. It has been revealed to me, and I want to make it known to you so that you can understand, Spirit, that plan. Actually, I must read further, 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So first, it must be in mind a revelation, so that we know the plan. Then it is in spirit, known by the one Spirit, not really by the flesh. So he gets a good sense of spirit, and right afterwards he shows that if we have those two factors in our consciousness, that brings out within us the tone of soul, namely, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Can you hear the tone of soul? Perhaps not, huh? Perhaps you do, huh? That the Gentiles, that's the plan of love, that all the whole world should be saved, so that the Gentiles should also be saved. So that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, that they should be able to identify themselves also as heir of God. And not only say, well, the Jews are the heir of the promise, that also the Gentiles are fellow heirs. They identify them properly as heirs. And of the same body, that's naturally, again, a symbol. We know our Mrs. Eddy uses always soul versus body, that soul is the fact about the counterfeit, namely the body, the true identity. A body is always a true identity that can be defined and named properly. And partakers of his promise, partaking, they identified themselves with it. They took part with it. Can you see there are two or three tones of soul in it in one little verse, just giving a sense. Now, if we go out through revelation, we first have a revelation, and we know something. What must that revelation be? It must come through the Spirit. Only when it comes through the Spirit, we can understand it. What do you understand? Third, that you can identify yourself with the promise, and therefore not be excluded, but you can identify yourself with to be fellow citizens of the commonwealth of God, and that you can be a partaker, you can take part, so you get the part of the whole, and be partaker of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Then we get the tone of principle at once. You hear that. Wherefore I was made a minister. Now he describes now again the office that he has to fulfill. According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. How did he get it? How was he nominated to be a minister? How are we nominated to be a teacher? Who is that authority that says you can be a teacher? And so he said that he has received that by the grace of God given unto me, namely by the effectual working of his power. Can you see the effectual working of his power, the power of principle, the spiritual power of principle, the operation of principle? So he said, I'm not the minister just because I am like with the Jews of the tribe of the Levi, therefore I'm a Levite, and every Levite is then a minister, and is then a chosen as minister, and all the other tribes are not ministers. He says, no, I have chosen myself and I have been chosen by the effectual working of God's power. And that's how we should have our authority for whatever we do. No matter if it is here a minister or for what we ever do, it should always be by the effectual working, by the calling of God. 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. He means because that all of the saints, he really always meant the 12 apostles, at that time only 11 apostles, because Judas hanged himself. So he said, I wasn't a direct disciple of Jesus, so I'm not really one of those saints. I'm the least of all saints in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Here you have a wonderful combination of love as principle. As love, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That plan of salvation is unsearchable. It's that gives the tone of love, that infinitude of love, that all-embracedness of love. And as principle, I was chosen by the effectual working of his power that I should preach, interpret the divine principle to the Gentiles. 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And you see that all men should see it. It gives a universal sense again of love, that it is in the plan of love that really Paul was chosen by the effectual working of the Christ to go to the Gentiles. That was his mission, not to go to the Jews. The other apostle would go to the Jews, but that he was chosen by the plan of salvation to go to the Gentiles in order to save all men. And that they see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So he said, I'm actually now revealing that plan of God that was hidden up to now. The Jews didn't know it. 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Again, it shows that the whole kingdom, the whole principalities and powers and heavenly powers should are the effectual working of that principle. 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is that tone? Love. So you have constantly to see that is the main tone, subtone, they blend into each other. So he said, according to the eternal purpose which God purposed, that plan of love is now being fulfilled, or is now being in the work, so to say, by the effectual working of his power. Then 12 and 13, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. This can only be understood out of the situation in which Paul was in. Paul was imprisoned in Rome, and he was just about to be tried. He knew that the day of his trial in the court would come on, and so he was not quite sure what will happen to him. And we'll see here in Ephesians, and especially in Philippians, that he constantly is inwardly not quite troubled. His Irish choice in tribulation, but he's not quite sure which way it will go, if he will be sentenced to death or if he will be set free. He didn't know. And in Philippians we see that then. But here, at the same time, when he writes to the Ephesians, he just hints at that wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation, that they don't waver because they see Paul, our leader, our dearest leader, he's in trouble and he may be perhaps be sentenced to death by the Romans. We don't know. Well, this naturally was not an easy thing for the Ephesians to lose their big brother. And so he said, so that you don't faint because of me, because I go through the tribulation for you, which is your glory. That's the tone of principle, so that he sees that plan of love which is purposed right from the beginning of the world and which has been hidden and not seen by the Jews, that plan is at work. That there is a principle at work, and that works effectually, effectual working of his power. And he does it by using Paul to preach that new gospel to the Gentiles. Yes. So now, that plan of love is further presented in the subtone of life. What does the subtone of life say? For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You get the sense, at once the sense, I bow my knees. I lay down, so to say, my life for the Father. He then in Philippians shows that he's ready to accept any decision. It doesn't matter which decision. Humanly he says, I would love to come and visit you again, but that is not in my hands. The Father will decide on that. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Says the salvation goes on in the inner man, not in the outer man. So the salvation today does not go on. When we look into the future, will it be through a nuclear war, or will it be in another harmonious way that it's worked out? We don't know what is in God's plan. We don't know which way is the right way. But we only know that there is one right way, namely that we culture the inner man. And that inner man, no matter what the decision will be for Paul to be freed or be put to death, that didn't matter to him. He says the inner man matters. And so he says to the Ephesians, look here, don't be troubled because of me. Whatever happened to me, don't be troubled, because what I gave you as the grace of God, the riches of the Christ, is actually the richness of the inner man. That is that which is necessary for the plan of salvation. When we come to a tone of truth, namely, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now you hear at once the tone of truth, Christ's truth, You hear the tone of in your heart, that means in your consciousness, so that the Christ may dwell in your consciousness, in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Can you see now the whole realm of salvation, that we, with our Christ consciousness, we have no more limits on our consciousness. Then we spread out our consciousness over oceans and continents into the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of the riches, of the fullness of God. Again, that sense of the fullness of Christ that goes right through all of the epistles, so that here we see that the Christ consciousness is without limits. It's without limits. And finally, the subtone of love, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So he ends that that subtone of love as love with that glorious sense that everything that we do is for the glory of God. So if we would not have the tone of love and we would only go as far as principle life truth, then we would not be a world savior. If we would just go to the complete consciousness of man, to the health of man, to his wholeness of man, to the gestalt of man, then we would only have the demonstration in the individual. And the whole world would be of no importance. But the whole tone of love comes and says, well, we have to put that consciousness into the context of the whole world and see how the whole world must be saved.